Moan, is it good?
It's good. It's an honor to be asked to come preach somewhere. And I like what Dennis said something earlier. He said it's one of the smallest youth groups you've had, but I'd rather have a small youth group with the touch of God on them than a big youth group without the touch of God. And I tell you one thing, every time I come to a youth meeting here, I always look at your youth group, and I like it because it's got the touch of God on it. Brother Dennis mentioned something in Sunday school. This has nothing to do with the message today, but I'm going to say it anyways. Brother Dennis mentioned something in Sunday school, and I liked it. Let's talk about mercy. And if you go, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." I've never been rich. Never been rich. There's been a couple years in my life where we were the exact opposite of rich. That's what comes with the life of a missionary. But I've met some rich people. You know, I've met some people who don't really struggle with money. And their life sure does seem good. And I want to tell you something about them being rich. They don't have a shortage of mercy. They don't have a shortage of money. But God, He doesn't have a shortage of mercy. Amen. I'm glad that even when I mess up, God is still say, "I've got mercy. I have mercy on you." Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7. I'll be preaching out of Matthew chapter number 7 today. I was asking the Lord. I said, "Lord, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to say? I don't want to say anything you don't want me to say, you know." And he put this message on my heart. A message by the name of choices. See, when we go through life, we have lots of choices to make. We have choice, you know, where to live, what color car to buy, what kind of car to buy. These are all very big choices, but they're not the biggest choices we have in life. And I believe if you listen, I hope and I pray, if you listen to the message I have today, that the Lord will help you make the right choices in life. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, and for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Number one today, I wanted to show you something, that you have the freedom of choice. If you go through the Bible, not one time has God made a man make a decision. The Bible gave us free will, just all the way back to Adam and Eve, when Eve took of the fruit, and so did Adam. That's a free will. They made those choices. Number one, you have the freedom of choice, but not only do you have a freedom of choice, but it's a whosoever. You see that in the Bible, that's a whosoever gospel. If you look in verse number 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever." What does whosoever mean? Well, whosoever means it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter what you sound like, it doesn't matter how tall you are, it doesn't matter how short you are, it doesn't matter who your parents are, it doesn't matter who your family is, it doesn't matter what's going on in your past life, you can make the right decision. And that's proven in so many times in the Bible. You look at people who God took a harlot and made her and put her in the family of God, put her in the line of Jesus. It doesn't matter who your family is, amen. But it's a whosoever gospel, and it doesn't matter all those things. But you're only limited to two choices. You look at verse number 13, chapter number 7. "Enter ye into the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There's only two choices today, the right and the wrong. There's only two paths you can take, the right path and the wrong path. Amen? I want to ask you today, will you make the right choices when you go through this life? Will you make the right choices? Number one, we have the freedom of choices. Number two, we have the forewarning of a bad choice. Psalms 1:6 says, "For God knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." There is no doubt about it. If you take the wrong path, if you start walking along the wrong path, if you take off and start leading down your life down the wrong path, you're going to go through a storm. I had Brother Ray Stewart said something one time, my pastor who's passed on now. He said, "It doesn't matter." He said, "You're either going into a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm. Amen. When you go through the Christian life as you receive Jesus, you're going to go through storms. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to go through storms. Amen. You're going to go through storms. But if you're on the wrong path, let me tell you something. You're on the wrong path, that storm's going to hit you hard. That storm's going to hit you hard. But, and you go through life and you say, you get on the wrong path and you're going through life on the wrong path, and the decisions you make determines what storms are going to happen in your life. I made a decision when I was about 8 years old of running behind my dad while he swung a golf club. It was not a good decision. An injury came from it. Scars have come from it. Amen. It's not a good decision. And because I made that decision, I have to live the rest of my life with a scar. And it may be just a tiny scar. It may just be a funny, you know, kind of story to tell people. But let me tell you something. There's real people in life today that have bigger scars than this one on my forehead. There's people that go through life that will never see a family member again. There are people that will go through lives that will never have the joy of running with their kids again, all because they made a wrong decision, all because they made a wrong choice. I told a story last time I was here about a buddy of mine from South Carolina whose name was Zach, and Zach was out of the will of God. Zach was saved, but Zach had a problem. He liked to hang out with the wrong people. Me and Zach were kind of close. Zach's brother was my best friend, Josh. Zach had a problem. He hung out with the wrong people. And I told Zach one day, I said, Zach, you better calm down or something bad is going to happen. You better calm down or something bad is going to happen. And next thing I know, I moved up here 2 years ago, about last year sometime. I was told that Zach died in a car wreck. Zach will never again be able to make a choice, all because of the bad choices he made. All because of the one bad choice he made to take a sip of alcohol and get in a car. He'll never be able to redo that choice. I pray that Zach's in heaven today. I'm pretty from what he told me, he was saved, but he'll never be able to make that choice again. He left a mother behind. He left a father behind. He left a brother behind. I'm going to ask you today: are you willing to suffer the consequences of a bad choice? Are you willing to go through life knowing you made a bad choice and knowing that you made a wrong decision and have to live with the scars of that? Are you willing to do that for the rest of your life? You see, you have the freedom of choices, the fruit of a good choice, or excuse me, the forewarning of a bad choice and the fruit of a good choice. Matthew 7:25 said, the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, that wise man made a choice. He made a choice to build his house upon the rock. He made a choice that he was going to stay on the right path. And when the storm came, his house did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. His house did not fall because of a choice he made. His house did not fall because he said, I will not be the one to make the wrong choice. I will not be the one. I'm going to keep my family in the right path. I'm going to keep my family where they need to be. Like I said, we all make choices in life. You say, how do I know to make the right choice? When Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You've got to have a purpose. I heard a message preached one time talking about the purpose, to have a purpose like Daniel. Amen? That's a strong purpose. When Daniel got tired, when Daniel got weary, when Daniel was hungry, when Daniel was thirsty, instead of drinking the king's wine and eating the king's meat, Daniel said, I will not do it because I'm not going to defy myself. I have a purpose in life, and I'm not going to ruin that purpose in my life. I'm going to stay on the right path. I'm going to have a purpose. Let me tell you something today. You have to have a purpose like Daniel. If you can have a purpose like Daniel, you can go through the Christian life. You can go through the Christian life making the right choices. I'll tell you this much. Samson didn't meet the lion until he got on the wrong path. Go through the story of Samson. His entire life he had stipulations, and it seems like he broke almost every stipulation, but God still had mercy on him. And that's a whole nother message. But you go through life, he walked down the path, and he didn't meet the lion. He didn't meet a storm until he got off the wrong path. He didn't meet the thing that could have killed him until he got on the wrong path. Right? Amen? He got on the wrong path. He started looking towards the grapes that were over there and said, oh, I know I should be going that way. But those sure do look good. Amen? Let me tell you something, young people. The devil and the world are going to offer you some fun things. But sin is only fun for a season. It says that in the Bible. I'm not going to argue with it. Sin is only fun for a season. The devil's going to offer you some fun things. The devil's going to offer you some stuff, and it's going to look... The devil's going to offer you stuff like Hollywood does. You notice the movies that... They always make the movies sound pretty good, right? They put all these glitter and they put all the flashing lights, and young people instantly attracted to it. It's like a dog looking at a squirrel. It's instantly attracted to it. Amen? It's funny, but it is true. When you go through the Christian life, especially as a young person, let me tell you something today, the devil's going to offer you something. The devil's going to offer you something, but you have to have a purpose like Daniel, that you're not going to defile yourself, that you're not going to go against what the Lord has told you to do. The freedom of choice is the forewarning of a bad choice and the fruit of a good choice. I told you I wasn't going to preach long, and I almost done, but I just want to make one thing. I want to say this, the fruit of a good choice. So you look at something like Joshua. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And look how the story of Joshua can, you can preach several messages out of just off of Joshua. How he was a man of God and how he never turned his back on God. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made a choice today. I'll ask you today, is there a choice that you need to make? Are you on the wrong path? And if you're on the wrong path, I'm going to beg you today, get on the right path. As a musician come, I told you I wouldn't be long. If you want to come and play something softly... I want to ask you today, are you on the wrong path? If you're on the wrong path, I want to ask you today, what choice do you need to make to get on the right path? Different people have different choices, but there's a certain choice that you have to make to get on that right path. I thank you for listening today, and I want to ask you, as you play softly, if you need to come to this altar right here, if you need to come to the altar and you need to figure out what you need to do, what choice you need to make to get on that right path, I'm going to beg you to come today. I'll beg you to come. Because I'm telling you this much. As I promise, I'm done. But you're going to go through life and you're going to have storms. Ain't that right, Brother Dennis? How long you've been saved? Long time. How many? You've been through a couple storms, ain't you, Brother Dennis? A couple big ones, haven't you? Somebody like Brother Dennis, one of the most godly Christians I've ever met is going to go through storms. Certainly somebody's going to go through a storm. Amen. I want to ask you today, if there's anything you need to get right with God, if you come today and you're not saved, I want to tell you, you can get saved today. Amen. If you're holding on to a statue of Mary to get saved, let me tell you something. You're not going to heaven. If you're holding on to a prayer cloth that you got on sale for $29.99 off the internet from some website, let me tell you something today, you're not going to heaven. Amen? There's got to be a personal meeting with God. I want to beg you today, if you're not saved, please come to this altar. Brother Dennis and someone in the church, take somebody with you, will be glad to show you the way of salvation. We'll be glad to show you. As we come, Brother Dennis, I'm going to ask Brother Dennis to come up here, close out the service.
Stand to our feet this morning. I want to know something. Have you made some choices that you're sorry that you've made? Made some choices that you regret? Man, won't you come? Tell right. You know what repentance is? It means to turn around, to make a decision to do opposite of what you was doing. Maybe there's some choices that you've made that you wish you'd never made, but God, who is rich in His mercy, amen, and grace wherein He saved us, is able to forgive you, and He'll forgive you. He'll restore you, make you new again. You're faced with a decision right now. Am I going to go to this altar? Am I going to ask God to meet the need in my life? Am I going to surrender something to God? Or you can sit back and say, no, I'll just wait another time, and you don't have a promise of another time. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have a choice to invite Jesus in. And maybe today is the day you need to come, and the devil's telling you no. There'll be another time. Don't believe him. The devil's a liar. He's the father of a lie. If God's speaking to your heart now and he's bidding you to come, come while he's calling. Come while he's speaking. Come while he's ministering. Come and let the Lord have his way. Come, let the Lord do that work that he wants to. Amen. Folks are still moving. I tell you, Tanya's getting ready to start her chemo again. A scary road before her. She's at the altar. Would some of y'all come and just gather with them and pray? Just pray for peace. Just pray for assurance in her heart. Just pray that God would just minister to her needs. How about it? Other folks are still struggling. Other folks are still dealing at the altar with their needs. Would you come? Would you come and pray?